Hi, and welcome to the Urban Homesteader Podcast, where I'm your host, Samantha McClure. On this podcast, I will share my family's adventures on our one-acre homestead in the middle of small-town USA, from homeschooling and cooking to animals and everything in between.
Hey, hey, guys, it's Samantha, the Urban Homesteader. It is a beautiful September afternoon. I am sitting outside because it is too pretty to sit inside. The weather is perfect. There is no reason to waste the day in the house when I can be sitting on the porch enjoying the cool breeze, listening to the animals. So if you hear ducks in the background or chickens or dogs or sirens, it's because I live in town and I am outside. Today's podcast, I want to cover some of my favorite herbal remedies that I use for my family. But before I do that, I want to preface this by saying, do not use any home remedy, herbal remedy, unless you have spoken to your doctor first. A lot of people seem to think that because an herb is natural and we do use them for cooking, that it's safe. Well, I'm going to tell you that it's not. There are many, many medications out there that can react badly with herbs that you take. For instance, there are some medications that people take and they are strongly advised against eating grapefruit. Grapefruit is natural. Grapefruit is a fruit. I don't particularly care for it. I think it's disgusting and I'm allergic to it, but that's beside the point. Grapefruit is asked to be avoided because it can cause a severe counteraction with certain medications. So before you take anything, talk to your doctor. And I would also highly recommend you research what it is that you're taking. I do not give my family anything without first researching it. Anytime there is a new health problem, I research it. I need to know the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the backwards, the forwards of everything going on, both in mine and my family's health, and also in the things that we put in our bodies. It's important to me, and it ensures that my family stays healthy and we don't have any scary side effects that we aren't prepared for. So research is your friend. Don't do anything unless you've researched. I am not a doctor. I'm not in the medical field. And I am not telling you to do these things. I am just sharing with you my testament on what works for my family. And, you know, just sharing my story. It's cold and flu season. Fall is usually when that happens. And it's my favorite time of the year, you know, bonfires and hoodies. I've never really been a hoodie person just because I can't take them off without taking off my shirt at the same time. And I'm sorry, I get hot and I don't want the whole world to see everything that I have. So hoodies, I don't wear them. I'd rather have a cardigan. But for most people, it's hoodies and bonfire and football season. But again, it's also cold and flu season, and everybody's trying to figure out ways of boosting their immune system so that they can fight the colds. I know right now with COVID-19 going on, it would seem the cold and the flu have vanished, but let me tell you, they are still there. Sinus infections are still there. Stomach bugs are still there. And I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think COVID-19 is going anywhere either. So boosting our immune system is a good way to get a head start on fighting these viruses and infections. And personally, just keeping a strong immune system is a good thing because you never know when you're going to need it. And God gave them to us for a reason, whether we create natural antibodies because we've gotten ill or we've got synthetic antibodies because we were vaccinated against whatever. I'm not going to get into the vaccine debate. I'm not going to get into the COVID-19 debates. I'm not going to get into any of that. It's not my place. Everybody has their own opinion. And just like you have yours, I have mine, and we'll leave it at that. But I do think boosting our immune systems is the way to go. So let's start with cold and flu season and our more popular home remedy that you can usually find. A lot of homesteaders in your area probably make it and sell it. You might be able to find it at the farmer's market. You might find it at the local drugstore. You can make it yourself if you have the stuff on hand. Etsy is a great place to buy kits. Hopefully soon I'll have my own Etsy shop and people can purchase. I don't know if it'll be Etsy, but I'll have my own shop somewhere where you can purchase some of my elderberry kits and other stuff. So elderberry syrup. Everybody knows what elderberry syrup is. It's really good on pancakes. And if you're super creative and you don't like just taking it straight, I'll tell you, if you mix it with a little seltzer water, it makes more of an elderberry soda. And my kids guzzle it. It's already sweetened because it's got local honey in it. So you don't have to add any additional sugars. You just add that seltzer water. And your kids think they have quite the treat. You can really dress it up if you feel like adding a little heavy cream. And top it off with some whipped cream and a cherry. And then you've got an elderberry Italian soda. And I'll be honest, my kids love those. It's great on pancakes. You do it right, you can even make jelly out of it. I know elderberry jelly is popular with some of the older folks in my area. I've had several people asking me to make it. I just can't bring myself to do it because I think elderberries are disgusting on their own. I can't do it. So when I make elderberry syrup, I throw in all kinds of herbs and spices to make it taste better. And I think I have a winning recipe. I won't share my exact recipe, at least not on here, because it's one that I have worked several years to develop. But I can share some of the reasons why I put things in it that I do. Let's start with elderberry, for instance. Elderberry has been scientifically proven to help shorten and fend off cold and flu. You can buy a pharmacy version called Sumbacol. It doesn't have a ton of elderberry in it. It's a very, very small amount. But you can buy elderberry syrup at the drugstore under the name of Sumbacol, I believe. When I make it, I use fresh or dried elderberries that I get, and I slow simmer them so that they rehydrate. And I add cinnamon, because cinnamon is delicious, and let's be honest, cinnamon is good in everything, pretty much. Clove is one of my favorite. I only add like one or two little cloves because it is a very strong spice. It doesn't take much to go very far, and it tastes really good. Also, clove is a secret ingredient to my tacos. You're welcome. You don't need a lot of it there either. Just a teeny tiny pinch. Ginger. Ginger is great for upset stomachs and indigestion and nausea. So it's great to have on hand, not just for elderberry syrup, but for other purposes as well. And it's really good in Chinese food. I love it in Chinese food. I love ginger, period. A little ginger and honey steeped together. Pretty good tea. Maybe a little lemon. Makes me happy. What are some other things? When I have the cold and flu, I will add a little marshmallow or slippery elm to my elderberry syrup and let that steep in there as well. Because marshmallow and elderberry syrup have effects on the lungs. Sometimes I'll even add a little mullein leaf. The thing about mullein, though, is it does have tiny hairs, and they can sometimes irritate the throat, so I would be cautious with that. It's fabulous for the lungs. Like, it's absolutely fabulous for the lungs. Just be aware that if there is some minor throat irritation, it's because mullein has little hairs on the leaves, and I haven't had the issue with it, but I know it is a potential issue. See what I use local honey. When I open finally have a shop available where you can purchase my stuff. I will not be selling elderberry syrup to anyone who isn't local. If you're local, I will get it to you because I do not can my elderberry syrup. Being so, canning it ruins the natural healing properties of honey, the good benefits. So if you buy a kit from me, you'll need to use your own honey local to you. I have a friend who is a beekeeper, and I bought 48 pounds of honey from him this year on top of another 12 pounds that I had from last year. So I have lots of honey for syrup, and just because honey is delicious, and sometimes he's hard to get a hold of, so I try to keep honey on hand for those that want his honey. It's awesome, y'all. I've never had honey this good. I've never been a big honey person until I met David. So now I sell Dry Creek honey. If anybody needs any, you can, you know, get it from me. So that's elderberry syrup. I will have kits available here soon. I'm waiting for my elderberries to dry. I just found a huge patch. I don't know what the proper term is for a large number of elderberry bushes in an area. But a friend and I ran across a very large, I'm going to call it a grove, of elderberry with big heads of berries. So we picked a bunch and split them, and now they are in the freezer. I need to dry some for future storage because I don't want to fill my freezer with everything. And I can't make kits if my elderberries are frozen. They just don't ship quite as good as you would think. But that's that's elderberry. Elderberry is great. You can usually buy it local to wherever you are. You're just gonna have to do a little digging. Otherwise, you know, like I said, there's the Sumbuckle in the pharmacy. Another really fun thing that my kids and I enjoy. I have arthritis building in my knees. I know this. And there are some days where things that I eat, for instance, Subway or lunch meat causes me to swell up. It irritates my arthritis in my knees, and my knees swell and make me super uncomfortable. So I look for an anti-inflammatory to help with that. And my favorite is Golden Milk. Golden Milk is warmed milk with honey and turmeric and ginger, a little cinnamon, a little black pepper, and it makes me so happy. My kids love it. It's a great alternative to hot chocolate. Don't get me wrong, we do a lot of hot chocolate. I mean, let's be honest, hot chocolate in the winter and the fall around a campfire with toasted marshmallows. Yeah, that's the recipe for a fantastic childhood. But I use it a lot for arthritis pain and inflammation issues. So those recipes are easy to find. I will share my recipe on my Facebook page this week. So keep an eye out for it. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Stomach bugs are a big thing, what with kids going to school. We haven't caught one yet. We've only had a cold, and we lived on elderberry syrup for a good while. I'm going to tell you right now, stomach bugs scare the ever-living daylights out of me. I have a phobia of throwing up. Not so much my kids throwing up, because let's be honest, it happens. But and I'm going to explain where this trauma and phobia come from, because I kind of feel silly for it. When I was pregnant with my kids, both of them made me very sick. Morning sickness was not limited to the first trimester or the third trimester. It was an all day, every day, entire pregnancy, and I think I still threw up for about 3 to 4 weeks after they were born. The hormones. I do not like being pregnant for the very reason that I was sick the entire time with both of my children. I lived on anti-nausea meds and ginger, and it wasn't enjoyable. But because of all the throwing up that I did, I am now terrified of the mere idea of catching a stomach virus and having to throw up. I now deal with permanent heartburn from a hiatal hernia caused by two pregnancies of nonstop throwing up. So, yeah, it's great. Having kids is a wonderful thing. I love my children. I just did not like being pregnant with them. It was not enjoyable. Not at all. But when there is a stomach bug, or we have food poisoning or stomach virus or any of that stuff, I use ginger tea. I have a bunch of dried ginger or fresh ginger if you can get it. I chop up my ginger, or I add a tablespoon to about a cup of boiling water, and I let it steep with a little bit of lemon juice. And I just let it steep, let it do its thing. Sits there about 2-3 minutes. Lets the flavors meld, and then I will strain it, add a little bit of honey just to help cut the bitterness, and you know, because ginger is hot, y'all. I don't know if you've ever just eaten a piece of ginger. It smells so good. But just eat it, it's not good. It's not good at all. Goodness, my street is busy today. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Big tractor with a lawnmower attachment was coming down my street. I think they're cutting the ditches and the big field on the other side of the little property next to us. So, you know, they're really loud, and I didn't feel like y'all wanted to hear all that. So I paused, figured I'd share a sponsored segment for a second, and then pick it back up. A lot of traffic in Edgefield today. I was talking about ginger tea. So I steep my ginger and my lemon juice, mix in a little honey, and then I sip it. It does help take away the upset stomach. If it's just heartburn I'm dealing with, I don't do the ginger tea. I just drink a glass of milk. Sometimes a warm glass of milk with honey, just a little bit of honey, is really good. Especially at bedtime, it'll help you get all cozy and want to fall asleep easier and quicker. So, those are my favorite. I don't have, you know, a whole lot of things that I go to on a regular. I do have, for instance, anxiety. I don't know if anybody else has been as anxious lately as I have been. I have been so incredibly anxious. This whole pandemic and just all the uncertainty going on in the world right now, it can get to you. And I'm already an anxious person. I'll be the first to own that. I'm a very anxious person. I can't take anxiety medications due to a condition I have with my chemical and hormone levels in my body. They do not react well with a lot of medication, so I have to find more natural ways to treat my anxiety. I've spoken to my doctor, and she said if it works, to go for it. Again, talk to your doctor. Just, you know, make sure you talk to your doctor first. She didn't see any contradictions with anything that I was on or any reason not to try it. But I grow lemon balm and I grow catnip. My cat isn't interested in catnip, which is great because that just means more for me and I don't have to worry about Sitta getting in the garden. But I grow a large patch of catnip every year. And I grow a ton of lemon balm. Lemon balm and catnip combined make a fantastic tea, both in terms of flavor, but also in terms of it's natural for anti-anxiety. I like to mix my catnip and lemon balm with a little bit of honey. I'll steep them in warm water for, 2 to 3 minutes. Let the flavors mingle and impart into the water. A lot of people would call that an herbal tea. Tea isn't technically the right term for it. It's a tisane or a infusion. It's not really a tea unless there's actual tea leaves in it. I do have my own tea camellia, so I could technically turn it into a tea by taking some of my green, the fresh tea leaves and drying them and adding them to my catnip and lemon balm. So, I mean, it could technically be a tea, but I don't think I'm going to do that. Not yet, anyway. Sometimes when I'm especially stressed out, I will add some passion flower or some California poppy. California poppy does not have opiate in it. It is not an opiate poppy. It is just a natural sedative. Again, research it. Do not just take my word for it. Research everything. But these are things that help me. I don't do a lot of it. I might do 1 cup of this lemon balm and catnip tea with whatever I decide to put in it. There are a lot of great herbs out there that are good for anxiety and depression and stress and everything out there. But I have found just simple catnip, lemon balm, hot water, and honey. That's all I need. And I think my chickens, the little bitties, have escaped through the fence and are wandering the backwoods. Yay for chickens! So here are some of the herbal remedies I use in my family. I will be sharing some of these on my Facebook page over the next couple of days so that you can go ahead and put them in your rotation. Now, some of the places that I use to shop for the herbs that I don't grow, or if I didn't grow enough and I need enough for the year, I will share those links in the show notes. Some of these places are, for instance, I like Mountain Rose Herbs. They're off the West Coast, and they have a large selection of herbs and spices, so you can get whatever you need there. I also use my own garden, and there was somewhere else. Where is it that I order from? I don't remember the name of the place. I'll have to look. But I know that my seeds, when I do grow, I grow from Baker Creek. Baker Creek has heirloom varieties, and they're wonderful. Customer service there is fabulous. Their catalogs. I don't know if you've ever looked at a Baker Creek catalog, but they are very easy to get lost in. And I love them. But I will share links to my herb sources for when I don't grow enough or I can't grow certain things so that you can pick them up yourself. Until next time, I hope you have a beautiful fall day, and may God bless you.